Right now, numbers can tell a story. Take birth rates, for example. As Americans, we put a lot of cultural weight on when we were born. We divide ourselves into generations and assign traits to those groupings. Our next guest says the number of babies born each year affects everything about how they grow up, from the job market to crowded classrooms. Malia Jones is an assistant scientist and a social epidemiologist at UW-Madison's Applied Population Laboratory. In a piece for WisConText, she writes that Wisconsin birth rates over time tell a story of demographic trends in the state, and you can find that by going to wiscontext.org. Malia, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me back.
I just love that we get to keep going into this data about who is here and how our lives are shaped over the decades. And, you know, before we kind of dig into the data itself, why choose to look at birth rates?
Well, new data come out about birth rates every year, and demographers follow these trends really closely because it does affect so many different social processes. And when the most recent year's data came out in 2015, we thought we would take a look at the whole history of this trend.
And let's take it by generation. What kinds of birth rate trends were we seeing in Wisconsin, for instance, during the baby boom?
Well, during the baby boom, of course, most people know we saw a tremendous spike in birth rates. And so during the Depression era of the 1930s and then the World War II era birth rates, the total fertility rate was hovering around 2.5 or so, which is can be interpreted as the one-year average number of children that a woman will have. Just after World War II, during the baby boom, those rates spiked tremendously starting in about 1945. And in Wisconsin, they continued to go way up all the way until 1960. In 1960 was the peak here in Wisconsin, and the total fertility rate was over 4. So that is quite high.
And that was about on an average with national, or were we above?
It was
or below?
A little bit higher than the national average. Yeah, Wisconsin's peak total fertility rate during the baby boom was a little bit higher than the national.
And so, Malia, you said that we hit that high in about 1960, but then there was a steady drop. Why was that?
Well, one reason was that in 1960, the FDA approved birth control pills. And so that made it a little bit easier for women to control their reproduction. At the same time, of course, the 1960s saw these tremendous social changes. And there were increasing opportunities for women to go into higher education and complete college, which is, in general, more education means less children for women. And also then, of course, enter the workforce. And that raises the opportunity cost of having babies. So those factors kind of all come together in the 1960s to produce that big drop.
And how long did that decrease continue? Was there a point where it leveled out, or...?
It sort of leveled out in something like the early 70s. There's a little bit of a what's sometimes called the echo boom in there, which is when the earliest of the baby boomers were having babies themselves. And so because of the large number of people having babies, we had a large cohort of babies in the 1970s. And it's been fairly level since then at something like 2.1 children per mother.
And you write that this post-boom era continues, and then between 1987 and 2007, you say that Wisconsin's birth rate started to split with the national rate. What was going on the national level, first of all?
Yeah, so it's an interesting process because it really has nothing to do with the birth rates of the people who are in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's birth rate remains on this sort of slow decline that it's been on, this trajectory that it's been on since the 1970s. But in other parts of the country, they've received a lot more immigrants from other places that have generally higher birth rates, especially in the first generation. And so those higher birth rates among people who are foreign born produce higher total fertility rates in receiving states. Like, for example, California and Texas have considerably higher total fertility rates than Wisconsin. And that's because of the higher fertility rate of those foreign born people who are coming in. And I would just add also that the birth rates in Wisconsin have dropped considerably below replacement level at this point. And as we approach the years when a lot of those baby boomers are retiring, it's really concerning. It would be good to have a higher total fertility rate in terms of economic growth and social reasons. So
we're talking with Malia Jones. She's an assistant scientist and social epidemiologist at UW-Madison's Applied Population Laboratory, and we're looking at historical data on Wisconsin's birth rates. And Malia, you just mentioned that states with higher immigration levels tend to have higher birth rates. That made me think, how much do you and other data people look at the differences, for instance, between maybe U.S.-born people, but from different ethnic and cultural backgrounds? How much difference is there there?
We do see differences in the total fertility rate, certainly between people who are native-born and people who are foreign-born, and that's based on their country, that's related to country of origin, mm-hmm. generally. I don't know those numbers off the top of my head, but our largest immigrant streams at this time come from Mexico, which does have a higher total fertility rate than the United States in general.
So there's a noticeable difference between foreign-born and U.S.-born. Are there differences between U.S.-born racial groups?
I believe that there are, and it's age-specific, so I don't have those numbers off the top of my head either, but yeah, you would see higher fertility rates among based on age. So one of the things that we see that's really striking mm-hmm. when we look at fertility rate by age and by race is that whites in particular have later age at first birth, which produces fewer children overall. And so when you compare the total fertility rates of different ethnic groups, you would see part of that pattern being driven by the age that people have their first child. And some of that, as I said before, is related to educational attainment. So the longer people are in school, the later they tend to have their first child.
So what are we seeing now or with the most recent data of Wisconsin birth rates?
So right now, in the last, say, 20 years, we did see a little bit of a bump up in the total fertility rate. It was hovering at around 2 children per woman for a number of years between 2003 and about 2009. But since the Great Recession, we have seen that drop back down to about 1.8. That's true here in Wisconsin. It's also dropped since the Great Recession nationally, and it has not bounced back again. So there seems to be this really sort of long-term effect of the Great Recession depressing the fertility rate.
So you were saying that you look at foreign-born versus U.S.-born, also the age at which women start having children, and that can affect it. Are you able to look at the data and see differences in, for instance, urban versus rural?
I suppose you could. So one of the challenges that we face as demographers is the amount of detail we get in the data is not always what we would want. And these data that we use are at the state level. If we had access to data at, say, the county or even better, sub-county level, we could really compare the total fertility rates between urban and suburban and rural places. And we are able to do that for lots of things. I don't think we can do it at the census tract level for fertility rate.
Well, and we've actually spoken with you before about definitions of what is rural
right.
and what is urban. And those
I was
are,
thinking that too when
those
you
are
asked
very,
the question.
Yeah, that seems to be up for debate
right.
depending on who you're talking to. So Malia, you mentioned, as we are all very aware because it's in the news a lot, that baby boomers are, you know, retiring and going on things like Medicare at, you know, thousands a day, and here we are with either flat or declining birth rates. That seems like kind of a recipe for disaster as we're trying to keep certain, you know, social programs and tax base and things like that strong.
Yeah. So those high rates of those high birth rates during the baby boom era have always produced challenges in terms of the number of people in that cohort. And so I think baby boomers will probably recall having overcrowded kindergarten classrooms. And when they entered the job market post-college, there was a real scarcity of jobs because there were so many of them competing for the same jobs. And now we have reached the point when they are preparing to retire and entering the years when they will be the highest burden on our healthcare systems. And that's going to present a real challenge because as they retire, their forces will not be replaced in the workforce with people who are native born. Mm-hmm. We're going to be increasingly dependent on immigrant labor to replace those jobs and grow our economy.
Well, Malia, thanks so much for joining us and explaining the numbers.
Thank you.
Malia Jones is an assistant scientist and social epidemiologist at UW-Madison's Applied Population Laboratory. She joined us to talk about the history of birth rates in Wisconsin, and you can read that article at wiscontext.org.